It's amazing what we can do when we get on the same beat, amen? You enjoying yourself? Why don't you tell someone right next to you just one thing, good thing that's happened. Brother Garrison told us this morning at our power breakfast, he said, you got to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And we've mourned with some that have had to leave, like Fred. But why don't you tell the person next to you one good thing that's happened here and rejoice with them. Can you do that? I don't know about you, but one good thing I can point to is I have been stirred by Dr. Hosfeld's messages that we have a prophetic message to proclaim, and we must set that example ourselves, that experience in the Lord. It can't be something we get from book knowledge. It has to be something we experience, and it becomes alive for boys and young men. Amen? One of the things we're going to do in this session, we're not going to have an official time to do it, so you're going to do it when you are prepared to do it. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 24, it says, "Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." So you know what we're going to do is you're going to pray that the Lord will give you some choice words of encouragement, and you're going to write it on this card, and there is a leader's name. In my case, I am going to be writing a note to Ron Rice, and I have no idea how to pronounce this, in Killeen, help me out, Texas? Killeen, Texas? I don't know Ron from Adam that I'm aware of, but I'm going to write him a note, and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to just help me drop choice words into his life. And then you're going to turn these in as you leave for lunch. You're going to drop them in the BGMC buckets at the door, and we will mail these for you from Springfield. All right? Can you imagine what it's going to feel like for Ron to get a note from me and whoever's on your card get a note from you? We came to Texas. We want to bless the leaders in Texas with an encouraging note. Can you do that? That's part of what this session is all about, is building relationships. That is vital. In ministry. Ministry, first and foremost, is about relationships. So let's minister to these men. One other announcement, real quick, again to reiterate, how many of you found your 3x5 card? Okay, you have 3x5 cards on your table. These are for questions. I've received one here. It's a training-related question. Remember to put across the top, if it's training or chartering or whatever the topic is, that'll just help us categorize them. And then we will be able to cover a lot of this information tomorrow. Drop these off in the office before 5 o'clock today. Okay? This is interactive. Okay? ¿Están de acuerdo? Sí, señor. That's what you say. ¿Están de acuerdo? Gracias. Muy amable. Very good. Here's what we're going to do in this session. This is about relating. It's the third priority in the district. John Maxwell says the most difficult thing to do in leadership is to get everyone working according to the top priorities. We all have to work according to the top priorities. And at the district level, we get into alignment with the mission of Royal Rangers of evangelizing, equipping, and empowering by growing the number of churches. Because when there's more churches using Royal Rangers in your district, there's more men able to minister to boys. That's your role in the evangelism cause. Can I hear an amen? Amen. When you develop leaders skillfully in line with national guidelines and policies, what you're doing is you're working in alignment with the equip priority of the ministry. And that's your role. The more men you equip, and the more men you inspire and mobilize and resource for success in ministry, then guess what happens? You're preparing men who are going to be mentoring boys and helping them become godly men. That's your priority. The third priority is relate. We have to create at the district level and at the national level this community of men that loves extravagantly. Now, sometimes we feel a little uncomfortable saying that, so why don't we just get comfortable with it? We as men must love extravagantly. Now, we're not going to love the way women do. God doesn't expect that. He's going to ask us to love in actions because we're men of action. And so we have to do things to show our love. That's the way we do it. But sometimes we have to fill out the card and say an encouraging word. But bottom line is, this whole topic of relating is building the community of men that supports outposts that are building future men. And so that's why we're going to spend this session in its entirety talking about relating. We're going to hit four topics. Number one, we're going to talk about connecting with God. Number two, we're going to talk about connecting with boys. And we're going to talk about it specifically virtually, because you understand how to build relationship with boys. That's by doing things together. But perhaps you need a little more information on how to connect with them virtually. So we have someone who will come up here shortly. Jody Smith is going to be talking about this. He has a degree in marketing, runs his own marketing firm, and he is going to talk about how you can leverage Facebook to connect with boys and young men, how to connect with other leaders by way of Twitter and blogging, the whole process. So he's going to, in 15 minutes, tell you everything you need to know about it. Then we're going to move on to how to connect with church leaders, and then how to connect with church ministry. So four things. These things in combination, connecting with God, connecting with boys, connecting with church leaders, and connecting with church ministries, will help us establish a foundation for building this community of men that love God extravagantly, love one another extravagantly, support ministers extravagantly, and then support all of the ministries within the district and the nation. When we have our relationships right, horizontally, our relationships vertically work out best. What's it say? If you and your wife aren't getting along, God isn't going to listen to your prayers. So when we are not getting along and not building a strong base of relationship, then it hinders our spiritual influence. So that's where we're going. So let me be the first one out of the chute. We've got several people that are going to participate. Give me about 10 minutes of your attention here. I want to talk about two things as we talk about connecting with God, as you can see on the screen. Connecting with God. I'm going to hit two topics. This first one is not going to sound at all spiritual, because when I say we're going to connect with God, you don't expect me to say do fewer events. Do fewer events with more creativity and more quality. How is that going to help us connect with God? Very simply, the devil loves it when we're busy. When we don't have time to really invest in quality events, creative events, then what we do is we tend to create a file. And we pull from that file what we did last year, and we do it again this year. We pull from the file again the following year. And we just get in this rut, and we as organizers feel like we have cut out a lot of busy work by just doing what we did last year and the year before that. But the Lord is constantly doing something new. Fast and pray over what God wants to do at your events. Let your events be creative. When we worked out the call schedule, and Jim has done a fabulous job in all of the details of this conference, can you just give it up for Jim? And he's just done a terrific job, and JR supporting him on all of the logistics. It's just amazing. But here's the thing is, Jim will prepare the detailed schedule, and he'll give it to me in an Excel spreadsheet and print it out and lay it out on the table. And literally, I lay my hands on each session. Lord, are we saying in this session what you want to say in that session? We need to just be praying, God, help us to do fewer events and do them well. I would just challenge you, look at the calendar. Are the events that you're doing strategic? If indeed what Maxwell says when he teaches about the Pareto principle, that 20% of your effort will produce 80% of your results, then try to really find out that 20% of events that are really going to make a difference and focus on those. And what will happen is your events won't just be routine. They will be encounters with God. They'll be prayed over. They'll be creative. You'll have J&J shows. You'll do crazy things. It'll be fun. People will enjoy it, and they'll connect with God. But beyond that, let me just talk about a real truth of our time. People are very busy. If leaders feel like they're investing so much of their time, seeing very little results, they're going to, in the marketing world, they're going to say the price is too high. You're going to wear your leaders out. If parents are constantly running their kids to baseball and everything else, plus Ranger events, and they begin to feel the value added to me and my son and my family exceeds or is far below the price I'm having to pay, then we lose our spiritual influence because we lose membership. We lose leadership. That is how it's spiritual. So yes, having too much, being too busy is a way that the enemy keeps us from connecting with God. So very simply, a piece of advice. Go back, really, as you move through the assessment process that we prescribed last year, look at the calendar. Are these really the things that are going to produce the results? Number two, connecting with God. Royal Rangers, in order to connect with God, if you move to the next slide, Royal Rangers is a spiritual ministry if it is led intentionally by spiritual leaders. So this is connecting with God. Can I just share my heart with you for a moment? It is so easy in Royal Rangers because I know I don't like the word program. We are a ministry, so let's just set that aside for a moment. But as a program, we really can check off, we can create a list and just check it off. Check off the, okay, this is what I got to do, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. We can get very administratively focused. True? We got national guidelines for training, and that's what Steve did such an excellent job talking about. Don't just go through the motions. Don't just try to cram all this stuff into as little time as possible to check it off and get men out the door. This is about building relationships. This is about really creating a community of men. And can you just say with me, raise your hand and just say, just as a promise, I will be a spiritual leader. It's easy to be an administrative leader, but God didn't call you to manage Royal Rangers. He called you to lead a movement of boys and young men into conformity with the image of Jesus Christ. Amen. And to do it in the power of the Spirit. So my challenge to you as organizational leaders is assess, am I really being a spiritual leader? Because that is first and foremost your calling, is to be a spiritual leader. Now, when I was years ago grappling with this, because I was asked to, I had made this statement that we're spiritual leaders, not administrative leaders, first and foremost. I got then invited to come talk about, well, how do I exercise spiritual leadership? And then I was like, that's a good question. So I began to pray, go through the Word. I laid some of this out in the article that's in your magazine. But the Lord gave me a realization that there are three very clear mandates in the Bible for every Christian. The first one is that we absolutely must follow the great commandment. That's the first commandment. Love the Lord your God. As I like to say to my son, love him with all your head muscle, love him with all your heart muscle, and love him with all your muscle. And so God calls us first and foremost to love him with everything we have and to love others just as much as we love ourselves. Anyone love their self here? You should. And God wants you to love others with the same intensity. So that's the first commandment. And if we realize that is a hook, if you will, on how to be a spiritual leader. First, I must love God with all of my head, heart, and muscle. I must love others as much as myself. I set the example. And then you begin to challenge men in their love for God, boys in their love for God. That's number one. It's a hook on how to be a spiritual leader. Are we loving God more as a result of lead? Are we? Are we coming to our events and being challenged to love God more, to increase our intensity, to love others more? I mean, that's number one. As a spiritual leader, I need to be asking, am I truly challenging men and boys to love God more, to love people more? That's number one on how to be a spiritual leader. Number two, there's another mandate, and that is the Great Commission. I always scratch my head when I get the emails after lead with people complaining about having to raise money for Master's Toolbox and BGMC and try to get teams for Mike. You know, he's just always begging for more teams and all these missionaries. Why do you have so many missionaries at lead? You know, why are we doing all of this? Well, just because Jesus said to. Amen? It's the great commandment, and he says, you will go, and you will go to the four corners of the earth. So we pray for missionaries. We give to missions. We go. That's absolutely part of it. He said, you will go, and you will be my witnesses. So as a spiritual leader, you have to be asking, is our district giving more to missions this year? Are we sending more men and boys out on missions trips? Are we reaching out into the communities more than we ever have? Can I get an amen? Amen. The Lord wants us to be involved in the Great Commission. Are we getting out and helping that inner city church that needs help, reaching out to their community? Are we giving a church a helping hand with equipment because they don't have it? They're a church that doesn't have everything they need, so we're going to help them. I mean, it's part of the Great Commission. We must go. We must be active in spreading the message. So that's a second hook, if you will, on how to be a spiritual leader. Number three, the third great commandment is the great empowerment. He told the disciples, you go, and you wait, and you will receive power. And it will be power to be better evangelists, to be better administrators, to be better leaders, to be better husbands, to be better witnesses, to be better fathers. His empowerment is total in our life. Amen? And so this becomes a third hook on how to be an excellent spiritual leader. So as we model these things, number one, in our life, then we can, number two, begin to look and assess our districts and the men in our districts. Are they loving God more? Are the boys loving God more? Are they loving people? Are they actually going and getting involved in missions, doing outreach, doing the things that are going to cause the kingdom to grow? Are they seeking to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Are they ministering in the power of the Spirit? These are things that I discovered through the years that helped me to be a better spiritual leader, and I trust that they will help you. Now, as a spiritual leader, your tone and your attitude in the district about administrative things is critical, because it's where the natural and the spiritual meet. God is in the natural and he's in the supernatural. Amen? Administration is really something that's natural. It can be empowered by the Spirit. Yes, of course. But when you pick up the phone to deal with an issue with GPH and the customer service reps make you angry, I should have brought an email that we got from one of the customer service reps weeping over the things that she was told over the phone by one of our ranger leaders. So in the natural, we're going to just let them have it. And instead of dealing with the issue, we make an issue. This is where it's the natural and the supernatural, they come together, and we have to realize we are natural beings, but we are also supernatural beings. And in our natural response, we want to just let someone have it. And so that creates an issue. We've said year after year, let's not create issues. Let's deal with the issues, but not create issues. Amen? This is, gracias, amigo. This is where our leadership gets tested, is in the natural, when things don't go well, and then we have to respond in a spiritual way. And it's a test of our spiritual leadership. When you don't agree with the national on something, instead of having that shrug of the shoulder when someone says, what do you think of this? That said it all, and it created an issue. If there was an issue, go to the person responsible and deal with the issue, because that is where the issue gets dealt with. But our spiritual leadership gets undermined when we respond in carnal, natural ways to the things that are just the regular irritants of life. As a missionary, I can tell you, this is very real. When you move overseas as a foreigner, you are the one doing the strange things. That's the thing you always have to remember. When you're overseas, you're the one doing the strange things. Don't make fun of the people there, because you're the one doing the strange things, not them. That's normal. That's what we always told people when they came to visit. Don't forget, you're the abnormal one around here. But when you're a missionary and you're used to things going a certain way after you've been there a while, you're just like, why can't you just
pay the bill online. I have to go and wait in that long line. And then tomorrow I get another bill and I have to go back and stand in that same line again. And there's just these irritants. And it's so easy to respond in the natural, and you have to say, okay, God, I'm going to respond in the supernatural. How can I be a witness to people in this line? So it's a choice. And what I'm saying here, guys, is our responses, our attitudes totally influence our spiritual leadership. So how are we loving God? How are we loving people? Are we personally involved in sending missionaries, helping church planters? Are we personally involved in spreading the gospel by praying, by going? Are we doing that? Because our example will set the tone. Are we spiritual leaders? Because if we are, we will be setting the tone for the ministry in our district. And then when we begin to speak about loving God, when we begin to speak about being involved in the Great Commission, when we begin to emphasize the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the empowerment of the Spirit for life and ministry, then guess what? It'll be something that we have credibility with, because we're involved in it ourselves. And we have then hooks that allow us to create barometers. Are we truly creating this relational community that loves God, that loves people, that's involved in the Great Commission, that is a Spirit-empowered community? Do you want that in your district? Amen. Absolutely. So guys, here's the bottom line takeaway. Let's do fewer things. Let's make sure that they are spiritual events. Rural Rangers is a spiritual ministry. Everything we do must be spiritual in nature. Even our conversations with GPH customer service. And the second takeaway is, let's be spiritual leaders. Let's not be content to just be administrative leaders. If you don't feel like you have what it takes to be a spiritual leader, let me assure you, you do. Because you are bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? And He has called you to be a spiritual leader. He's given His Spirit to empower you to be a spiritual leader. So let's make sure that we do not allow ourselves to be simply administrative leaders. Let's be spiritual leaders. Amen? Amen. Very good. Let's move now how to connect with boys virtually. Jody, where are you at? All right, let's give it up for Jody Smith from Wisconsin and Northern Michigan District as he comes. Thank you for coming, Jody.
All right, everybody knows this is a phone, right? Now, what's the number one use for a phone? It's texting. The number two use, you think it's a phone? No, it's for checking email. And your number three use is to check the web. Do you guys realize that we have now stopped using a telephone for voice conversation? We are now using it for text, okay? And we're a bunch of old fogies in the room. Look at this. I'm even going to cue our slides using the phone. Yeah, there's an app for that. Okay. This is hope it works. I purposely chose this slide. Look how much milieu there is. There's just so much going on. You know, we have to realize that... Next slide. Okay. The boys are actually trading that in for that. Okay, that's the main thing, is when we're reaching the boys, we must understand the tools they are using, all right? Some interesting stats, 96% of millennials are on some form of social network, okay? Facebook has 500 million users, okay? If Facebook was a country, it would be the third largest country in the world. Isn't that interesting? What do you think is the second most used search engine? All the guys in FCF know, listen, if you want to make moccasins, you just YouTube it, right? Okay? You're going to love this. Ooh. Sorry, this thing clipped off on my way up here. This is my communication specialist. His name's Daniel. He's got an iPod. He's jailbreaked the iPod. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to convert a Mac into a PC? Amen? Right? Daniel has hacked into the church's wireless internet. He updates all our social network and all our web stuff for our class. The dude's 11 years old. So you might think, wow, what a whiz kid. No, he's just normal, okay? So the big thing is you guys need to understand that. All right, so if you still think social network is a fad, you're in the wrong place, okay? It's actually a huge ministry opportunity. Up there are some logos. You guys should recognize them all. The only one that might be a little tricky is WordPress and Blogger. I'm going to quickly run through what... Listen, you guys have to know, you have to be on Facebook and on Twitter, okay? Those are the top two. The F is Facebook and T is Twitter, okay? YouTube is where you upload all your cool videos of all the boys that you've taken. WordPress and Blogger are great tools where you can actually blog, you can actually put all your brain dribble down, and you're published, okay? It's really cool. Guys, I'm used to teaching boys, so let's have a fun, allow me some latitude. For you to get your social media network merit today, all you have to do is set up a blog, set up a YouTube account, check, right? Set up a Facebook group, set up a Twitter account, and check in daily, okay? I don't know if you noticed, I've got an accent. If I don't contact my family that's spread around the world, if I don't contact them, let's say every week, a conversation, let's say I haven't spoken to my mom in 6 months, my conversation's gonna go, the kids are fine, everybody's fine, everybody's fine. It's boring. They wanna know what's going on in your life today, so you need to check in regularly. All right, let's talk about Facebook and Twitter. Lesson one, set up one personal account. Don't make the mistake I did. I had an account for adventure rangers and expedition rangers and all that, and eventually it was like chaos. I couldn't check all those accounts. So you just, with one email address, you set up one account, and from there, you can set up different groups, okay? You complete your profile and review the privacy settings. I'm finding a lot of people in our church, we're in a mega church, a lot of people in the church are saying, I don't want to go on Facebook because, they feel that there's going to be some privacy issue, especially with kids and things like that. Review those privacy settings and you'll see it's actually not that bad. Number two is the functionality. I just want to run through quickly what Facebook can really do. Yes, most people use Facebook just to chat and say, hey, mom, I'm okay. Hi, mom, I'm on TV or whatever it is. But realize that you can actually upload photos, you can put links on, and you can put video on. Facebook is, they're developing Facebook all the time, okay? So keep up to date with what's going on there. Did you know Facebook has emails? It's like a messaging system on the left-hand side. So you can actually send and receive emails to different people. The events calendar is awesome. It's really nice because you can put all the separate things that are happening within a class, within a special group. You can put on Facebook, and then people can actually respond and say, yeah, I'm coming, or I'm not coming. Then you know how many hot dogs to buy, right? The next one is friends. Realize that you can actually edit the friends now. It's a pretty new thing. You can actually create sub-lists of friends. So when you go to messages, I hope I'm not losing you guys. If you can go to, you can actually go to messages, and you can email only the adventure rangers that are going to go to Ranger Derby. So it's really neat what you can do. Next one. Again, the events. Look there, you've got a birthday section. It'll automatically tell you it's a boy's birthday. How cool is that? Okay. But it's very nice to keep up to date. Here's an example of some of the groups that I've started. I teach Adventure Rangers, so I've got an Adventure Rangers group. So I've only invited the Adventure Rangers and their parents to that group. And then I can talk to them and integrate with them separately just in that specific group. What's the other one in there? I have superpowers? That must be my son. All right. What a kid. Here's the best kept secret in Facebook. Right at the bottom of any page, nobody knows this, right? Right at the bottom of any page, there's a little advertising button. All right? Now, when you click on that button, you get a little, go to the middle, it says Facebook page, it's a big old circle around it. You can actually create a little website. This is like a web page. That page is searchable. So if I'm from Oak Creek, so if somebody Googles Oak Creek Adventure Rangers, they'll find my page. What a great ministry tool, and guess what? It's free, okay? but he's always good. Here's a good example of the Royal Rangers in, I don't know, somewhere around the world, okay? But look there, they've actually got a specific page, and you know what's sad? It's the only one I could find. Where are you guys? All right? Let's talk about Twitter. Now, Twitter is very similar to Facebook, all right? What's nice is you can, let's say we search for this guy called Doug Marsh, okay? So then all the Doug Marshes are going to come up, and then I can click on Doug Marsh's name, and it'll tell me who the people that follow him, all right? Doug has followers. All right. It's interesting. It's really, really cool. All right. Here's a good example of a nice Twitter page. Do you see on the top right-hand side, you see all the information of the person, and on the left is a list of all the different people. That's a pretty new format that they've come up with, and I like it. You can put links in and videos and various things. I'm just trying to whet your appetite as to what these two programs can do. For example, I mean, like Paul in the Bible, if he was here today, he would certainly have a Facebook and a Twitter account, okay? Allow me some latitude. If he had Facebook, he would use Facebook to keep in touch with the people that he meets as he's traveling. Like all the guys that he's hanging out in jail with and stuff like that, right? Hey guys, what's for lunch? You know, they'll sit and just give very superficial kind of discussions. Twitter, on the other hand, he would use as a link to his blogs. I talked about blogs earlier, okay? So he would say, hey guys, I'm just writing a letter to the church in Ephesus. What do you guys think? And he has a link, and the link would then link to the blog, all right? So all his followers would then be able to read the letter that he wrote, okay? And be able to give him some feedback and everything. So a little bit more meat and potatoes kind of thing. Two different tools, two amazing outreach ministry outreach tools. You know, how long is it going to take you to network with four people in a day? It's a lot of work. With this, it's a piece of cake. So do yourself a favor, join both those. Let's say look for Doug Marsh, and you'll actually see how many people follow him. And you go, I know that guy, it's great fun. And you look again, zap. You've got a whole lot of followers and a whole lot of friends. You'll be popular, okay? You know what's interesting is so many pastors are also on this. It's almost like they've caught on. And when you look again, look at all these people in their church. They all seem to be following and that type of thing. So it's a really good networking tool. All right. Five tips real quick. Look at my boys. They're great, aren't they? Tip number one, focus on retention rather than expansion. Some people are like, I've got 350 friends. Big deal, okay? Rather focus on those people that have taken the time to befriend you or to follow you. Build relationships with those people, and then build from that, okay? They must have a reason to want to come to your page. The second one is think like your audience. Think like your audience. They're boys. Relate. Make it relevant. We've talked about it so many times in this conference, okay? The next tip, know and really know your segments. So, yeah, you've got a bunch of 11-year-olds in a room, but realize that God has made each one of them unique. What applies to one doesn't apply to the other. And realize, this new generation that's coming in, think back of the songs that you used to listen to growing up, right? Everybody used to listen to those songs. These boys, realize, these boys can pick whatever song they like. What group do you like? I don't know. I like that song. They just download it. They get it now. It's immediate, all right? So know and really know the different segments of people. Fourth tip. Test in all segments. Now, as a marketer, I love to test, okay? Use different bait, if you like, different incentives. Again, this generation loves to sign up for something now, and if there's a big old carrot to draw them in, that's great. Measure how different carrots are working, okay? So if it's giving away an iPad today or giving away a Ranger Derby card tomorrow, what gave us the best results? What gave us the best feedback? So test, always test. And that's a great way of also to understand your segments, okay? I ask, what's in it for me? And I'll have a strong offer. Always, always have an offer. Are you guys coming to Rangers on Wednesday night? Are you coming to Rangers? We're gonna be building ABC, or we're gonna be shooting stuff, or we're gonna blow stuff up. They love that, okay? That's the way to do it. What's in it for me? I get to blow stuff up. All right. Guys, I'm going to skip the slide. I'm more on the outpost level, all right? I am so blessed to have been here at this conference. I see a lot of people working extremely hard. And I don't know, there are probably a few other people in this room that are also on the same bottom of the totem pole level. But I really want to encourage you guys. We are sitting here, we're waiting for information. We're begging for it. Don't think that, oh, they can't handle it or they're not ready for it. We're ready. We want it. We're desperate for it. And the stuff that's coming through, again, I'm an Adventure Ranger, so those brown Bible merits are fantastic. And the other commanders in my outpost are like, please, can we also have that? It's coming. It's awesome. So, you know, I just want to encourage you guys, you know, don't grow faint. Don't grow weary. Amen. Get lifted up. All right. Thanks so much for everything you guys do.
Is it okay to have fun? Thank you so much, Jody. Got to be with Gene Morrison up in the Wisconsin, Northern Michigan powwow. I've been able to speak at their camp several times. I love speaking at camps, and Jody and his outpost served some of the best pancakes that I've ever eaten at a camp out. That qualifier. And we just, Jody and I and all of his leaders just really hit it off. And ever since then, we've been exchanging a lot of emails. And I really love Jody. And he has given us some incredible advice as well from his marketing experience. And really appreciate you, Jody. Thank you. Okay, let's move on to the next thing. We've talked about connecting with God. We've talked about connecting with boys virtually. Now let's talk about connecting with church leaders. And to this end, I've invited Arden Arms to come, and if he will join me here, we will thank you, Arden, for coming. Would you join me in welcoming him? Arden is, just tell us about yourself. Take about 30 seconds and just tell us your background.
I am the Discovery Ranger leader for 8 boys in Fleming, Colorado. I'm also the district director in Rocky Mountain District.
And professionally?
Professionally, I taught school and was a school administrator for over 30 years.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Okay, as district director, you have set out to really connect with the church leaders in your district. And you have an incredible goal that I thought was worthy of every district director in here knowing about. So just tell us what that goal is.
Let me just set a little background, if I could, to that goal. Several years ago, I noticed that our chartering numbers were going down, and I was kind of curious as to why that was happening. So last year, I decided I would contact every pastor that had not rechartered in the last 5 years. I contacted them through email and asked them to give me some feedback with the idea that I would also call them. I received about 30% of those back, and I received one that was particularly negative towards what was going on. And so I decided maybe this year I really probably ought to contact every pastor, whether they had a chartered outpost or not, to talk to them personally by phone. In the Rocky Mountain District, we were in Colorado and Utah. It is a very large area, and I live in one corner of that. Actually, where I live, it is closer to go to Springfield, Missouri, than it is to one part of my district. So it is a long ways. It's about 800 miles across from corner to corner of my district. And so I decided I would call them on the phone. And if I could get a chance to, I would talk to them in person on the phone or personally in a personal meeting. I also have, as part of this, I have appeared to in district councils. I have gone on sectional tours, talked to them that way, but it just was not, it was a group setting, and I just didn't feel like I was making connections. So I decided this year I would contact every pastor by phone. So far, and that's since January, we have about 150 churches in the district. I have talked to 71 pastors on the phone in that time. I have calls back on another 62 that will be calling me back, and if not, I will call them. And I've only not tried to contact about 12 pastors. I just have not had the time. I will do that in the next couple of weeks when I get back home. So that has been kind of the format. Now, this did not come out of just my own desire. I have an incredible team of men that work with me. My leadership team, we talk about it. We did an assessment where we were, where was going, and suggestions were out there. What could we do about that? And one of the suggestions that was suggested to me, and I agreed with it, was let's contact those pastors personally. And where it's impossible for me to travel, I'd love to travel to do it, but it's impossible to travel. I would have to have a jet or something to do it efficiently. But I decided I would call them on the phone.
That's awesome. So contacting every district or every pastor in the district, visit with them personally.
Right.
So I'd imagine you've heard a lot of things.
I've heard a lot of things, both positive and negative. I don't want to spend any time on the negative because I think that happens to everybody, just how you handle that negativity. I'd like to just cite one, and I'm not going into real specific, except he ripped Royal Rangers Royal, and he said in this was in an email to me, that Royal Rangers couldn't change. And then he also added, it won't change. I left it there. I didn't respond to that thing. I was thinking, I would love to do something to him right now, but I don't think I really ought to. So I just let it go, and I prayed to the Lord, how is the best way of dealing with this particular pastor? A few weeks ago in sectional council, and I have a video that we show at sectional council, and Dale Hansen, who's back here, developed that video, and it was shown at all the sectional councils. I, in the process of calling, called this pastor. He referred me to his children's pastor, which is okay, that's fine. And he said, right now, we are in the middle of a building program. The building that we were going, they had got about 50% of the building completed and had sold the building they were in before. That church, they sold it with the idea they would be able to move into the new church. Well, when the real estate market went down in Colorado, they said, boy, we're just going to stop building. So they're presently meeting, it's a large church, meeting in a high school auditorium. And the associate pastor said to me, as soon as we get into a building, we are going to look to start Royal Rangers again. Would you please help us? And I said, absolutely. We'd love to do that. And it's just great to make that connection with a pastor who had done something which I would call very negative, to see it turn around within just a few days, mainly because that the contact was made personally with him.
So the personal contact is really paying off.
Really paying off.
That's awesome. Okay, so just to summarize, do you feel, in your opinion, from your conversations with all of these church leaders, is the direction we're going consistent with what you're hearing them say they want and need?
Absolutely. It's encouraging to hear, and I went through my notes again this morning to look at how many. I really like what you're doing in Royal Rangers. I really like what the new direction that you're going, and I emphasize new direction that you're going, and they have really bought into it. I will expect to see our charter numbers. I do not have a goal on charter numbers, but I expect that our charter numbers will continue to increase in the next few years.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Arden, for sharing with us.
Can I add one more thing?
Yes, please do.
I want to encourage every one of you to attend an NRMC. And I know this is not necessarily on that topic, but I told Doug this last night. I was absolutely blown away by NRMC that we had. I have the privilege of being on a trial run of it, and I was in tears most of the time because it spoke to my heart directly. It ministered to me as I have never been ministered to before, met me exactly where I needed to be met as a leader in Royal Rangers because it spoke to me. I would encourage every one of you, if you have not been to an NRMC, to make that a priority, to be one as quickly as possible.
Amen. Thank you, Arden. Appreciate it. God bless you. Connecting with pastors is just so important, and I want to encourage you to do that. If you're not particularly comfortable with it, just do it anyway. They won't bite. How many pastors we have in the room? Have you guys bitten any of the men in here? You did? You don't count. Harry doesn't count. He's got permission to bite. Very good. Let's connect with church leaders. It will pay off. It will absolutely pay off. More important than a slick brochure and even a video or anything else is relationship. And you build those relationships by making personal contact, by being at the meetings where pastors are at, being at the children's conferences, the youth conferences. Get there. Dress in a manner that's consistent with the event. You don't have to go forward in all of your uniform. You don't have to wear your FCF gear. You know, you go in there and you look consistent with the activity. And just build relationships. Don't push rangers. Build relationships. They know you're in rangers. But if you come on strong, they'll walk to the other side of the room. Right? But get in there. Do the soft sell. Build the relationships. It will take time. And it will pay off. I promise you, relationships will always pay off. And this is part of building a relational community in the district, is where all of our ranger leaders come to understand that we are partnering with the vision of pastors, and we're going to support them. And if rangers isn't the way to support them, we'll support them any way they need support, because they are called of God to shepherd these churches, to shepherd these ministries, and we are there to serve them and for the health of their church and their vision. Amen? So let's build relationships. Anytime you have men in your district who are bad-mouthing pastors, part of your spiritual responsibility is to privately pull them aside and say, listen, we don't talk that way about our pastors. We support them, and we never talk that way, and certainly not in front of the boys and young men that we're called to serve. We support these men. We honor these men. They're called of God, and that's how we build this relational community. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we've talked about connecting with God. We've talked about connecting with boys, in this case virtually, and we've talked about connecting with church leaders. It's all about building a highly relational ministry environment that supports strong and growing healthy local outposts and healthy churches. Now let's talk about connecting with church ministries. It is my privilege to have Mark Ensminger and Scott Berkey and David Boyd here with us. I'm going to invite them to come and join me. We're going to have fun. Didn't they say that boys are allowed sound covered in dirt? I just need a little bit of dirt and then we'll have the sound covered here. Come on up here and join me.
Is that in case we talk too long?
Exactly. I'm going to have you guys on a timer. You give preachers a microphone.
It's probably good.
What does 12 seconds each mean?
It means 12 seconds. You're very perceptive. What is happening at headquarters is, I tell you, is one of the most refreshing things that's happened in the 4 years that I've been there, and I've been associated with headquarters. Whatever it's been 5 years before that, as the director of Rural Rangers International, just being in Springfield and interacting with headquarters, just seeing the walls come down between ministries. One of the greatest things last night was just watching Mark and Scott help David and putting up buddy barrel walls and putting out the boxes and putting them in the truck afterwards. This is a team, and this is not something that has been normal at headquarters. And it's something we want to model. We want to break down the walls nationally so that we're setting the right tone for districts and for local churches. And Mark has been brought in from South Dakota. He was wore a million hats, and he's now the Senior Children's Ministries Director. And Rural Rangers is part of that Children's Ministries group. We also relate with the Youth Ministries group, and we also relate with the Adult Ministries group. And Mark's whole job is to help us integrate all of those relationships, because Rangers ministers to all of those groups, children, youth, and adult. But our primary team is this team right here. And Candy Tolbert couldn't be with us, the National Girls Ministries Director. But Mark, just take a moment, introduce yourself more thoroughly, and then we'll move to Scott and to David.
Thanks, Doug. Mark Ensminger, and most of my ministry has been in the great district of South Dakota. Give a shout out to James and Bruce Dye. Thanks for coming all the way down here to Dallas. Right on. I was a youth pastor in Rapid City for 6.5 years, and during that time had a little bit of involvement with children's ministry, and Rangers and Girls Ministries began kind of through that process. About 8 years ago, I moved into the district office where I became the district youth and Christian education director, or as many of you might know them as DYDs. A friend of mine called them DIPWADs, and it was because the DYD stands for District Youth Director, and the DIPWAD stood for District Youth Director with Additional Duties, District Youth President with Additional Duties. So I was just the DIPWAD because I had a lot of extra things that I did. And Rail Rangers was one of those things that I had the privilege of overseeing and got real involved with in about the last year, and I got to participate with it. And I was just real excited to see the direction that we're moving, that the Rail Rangers is moving, and it's great to be a part of the team.
Amen.
My name is Scott Berkey, and if you'll just let me do one thing real quick here. All right.
Why'd you just take a picture of yourself?
He's Twittering.
See, this is a pretty incredible sight that we get to see looking out at you, because you guys are our heroes. You're the ones that are working with the boys and making a difference in kids' lives. I've been a children's pastor for 10.5 years prior to coming to the national office, and I will be Twittering that picture later if any of you would like to see it. You have to get on Twitter to do that, though. I started off in ministry in the great state of Florida. I grew up in Orlando, Florida, in Penn, Florida. Where are you guys at? That's what I thought. I was there for a little while. Then I went to the South Carolina district and served in Somerville, South Carolina. See? And then, right before coming to the national office, I've spent the last 4 years in the North Texas district. Yeah, I thought there might be a little bit of representation there. I was a children's pastor in a church, and I had the opportunity to work with boys and girls and develop disciples, and it's weird because there's a camera there, and now there's cameras here. But it's my privilege and honor to be here with you guys today. I am relatively new to the CMA office, and as Doug said, I am so excited about the direction that we are taking for children's ministries to lead the way, and he is correct. Everything that I've seen, the whole team concept is not real prevalent at headquarters. But children's ministry, with the leadership of Mark and Doug and David and myself and Candy, we're stepping out and saying, hey, we're working to reach the same kids. Let's get on the same page and do it together.
Amen.
Thanks. David Boyd, I rode a bus to church starting when I was about 12 and landed in a Rail Ranger outpost just for a very short time before I went into the youth ministry. But because of that, bus ministry has always been a big part of what I've done. And so I was children's pastor for 17 years, 3 churches, and had Rail Rangers in all 3 of those churches, started Rail Rangers in them, had big, massive Ranger programs because of the bus ministry, sometimes as many as 200 boys on Wednesday nights. And working with, you know, those kids that don't have parents to help them, you know, it's a really unique setting in that regard. I was on national staff then during that time for about 14 years or so of that 17. And then I came to the national office, been here 11 years, both being the national BGMC director as well as the national children's ministries director for 8 years. And so I've been able to be a part of these events for a long, long time now, and it's amazing to see the same faces and new faces. But Rail Rangers has some of the, it's one of the only ministries, perhaps girls' ministries being identical to it, that has lifers, people who serve God and minister for life, as opposed to 9 months on, and boy, I should take a year off because I've worked so hard for the last 9 months. That is one of the strengths of Rangers. It's the leadership that stays and stays and stays, and the kingdom of heaven is going to keep those records.
Amen. Would you please express your appreciation as well to David and BGMC for all the tickets that they gave for last night's banquet? Thank you so much, David. And if you would, in the sound booth, let's roll that BGMC video.
Jesus said that every cup of cold water given to a child in his name would not lose its reward. We have to have a big enough heart to care for people, to care for children, to care for the poor, to meet their needs, and As one African brother said one time, when my mouth is no longer thirsty, my heart opens up to the Word of God.
BGMC stands for Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge. We want to challenge our kids to pray for missionaries, to learn about countries and people groups, to do what they can to help our missionaries through sacrificially giving, and most of all, we want to challenge our kids to keep their hearts open to the call of God.
You see, kids learn about missions, they learn about the poor people of the world, they begin to pray in their hearts, wanting to do something, and then someone gives them a little barrel. And so those kids take that barrel home, they begin to earn money, and they begin to fill that barrel with change, with dollars, with their love, their concern, their care for the world.
I was called to be a missionary when I was 5 years old because missions and missionaries were put in front of me all the time. That's what BGMC does for our children.
Jesus loved the poor and the suffering, and BGMC is training our kids to have that same love and compassion for hurting and desperate people.
Participating in BGMC helps you share with your children that they have a responsibility that is bigger than they are and bigger than their local circumstances. It's a responsibility that reaches all the way around the world.
We do about 20 to 50 major citywide outreaches every single year. We're feeding thousands of kids every single day, and BGMC has been an incredible partner in providing resources to help us get that job done.
Just a few months back, we were able to go into a very restricted area in India called Nagaland. Over 1,000 kids came, over 750 of them come down and asked Jesus Christ into their life. Everything we had was bought by BGMC.
Well, the purpose of Global Initiative is to equip the church to reach Muslim peoples and to mobilize church planting teams amongst Muslim peoples. And one of the ways that BGMC has really helped us is with our Muslim evangelism training schools.
Because of the fact that BGMC is there for us and sends these funds and we get an allocation for Northern Asia, I can respond to them, yes, we can help because the children of America have helped us.
I'm standing in Atakpame, Togo, in West Africa, and we represent Africa Oasis Project, and thanks to you, we are drilling a deep freshwater well at a Bible school here in Atakpame.
We believe that children should be involved in missions as they grow up, become adults, then it just becomes a natural part of their life.
It's very infectious. You get involved, you see a project that touches not only children around the world, but it touches humanitarian needs, it touches spiritual needs.
It's that heart of compassion that cares about the lost, the poor, those who don't have as much, so that our kids will desire to reach out to these people around the world.
Well, we'd like everyone, every church in the Assemblies of God to help us with two things. Number one, teach your kids to care about the world. Teach them to know about the needs of the world, the lost people of the world. And then number two, you get behind them. You pray for the world. You pray with them. You give with them. Every dollar that you give to BGMC goes to help our missionaries, home and abroad, reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, David, for your leadership. And as you know, we've partnered with BGMC to create the Master's Toolbox. And last year, and again this year, our project is translation so that we can see Royal Rangers curriculum translated into 5 major languages around the world that will give us access to another 46 nations around the world. And so we'll be taking up those pledges with the district directors and outreach coordinators this afternoon. But just say thank you, David. And this is just an example of how this team is working together, has been, and will continue to be. Appreciate you, David. Okay, here's the next question. Why are you passionate about gender-specific ministry?
You know, gender-specific ministry, I think, is very, very important because of the fatherless, even those that have fathers in their home, that the dads are really disconnected. And it's just something that can't be accomplished when everybody's together. I mean, the girls need a father figure in their life as well. But for those boys to learn what it means to be a real man, in their life, in their school, and in a lot of the churches, the women are the first to volunteer. The women are the first to do the teaching. And so we're raising a generation of young boys who don't have an adequate picture of what a godly man is supposed to look like. And so I really believe that gender-specific ministries is something that we have in the Assemblies of God that a lot of other places are craving, because they don't have any way to really enlist the men to train the next generation of boys to grow up and do what they've just done and reach the next generation down. So I really believe that what we're tasked to do with raising a generation of boys cannot be accomplished as effectively if we do not have a gender-specific ministry and Royal Rangers targeted specifically to train and mentor the future men.
Amen.
The picture that's coming to my mind right now was when I was in Florida and seeing the kids coming off the bus and going into our Ranger classroom and hearing them say, "Are we going to play horsey again? Are we going to play horsey again?" And then seeing a 45-year-old man on his hands and knees letting each boy take turns riding him around the room and realizing they'd never done that before, that they don't have a dad to do those things with. And there are so many stories of boys who their dad is their ranger leader, and their example of a man is their ranger leader, and their example of their heavenly father is their Royal Ranger leader. And it's only getting worse. And as important as the girls' ministries is, most girls have a mom. But there's about half of those boys that don't have a dad. So you're not only a teacher, you're also dad. And you're showing them how to be a godly man at all times. And, you know, it may be hard to believe that God will allow you to hit your thumb when you're working with a hammer just to show the boys how they should react when they hit their thumb. And they'll see, hopefully, a difference between you and what they see at home. So, but you are the example. You are the mentor.
For me, as a children's pastor, it was vital because there's so many things, so many spiritual principles that we need boys to understand, and we need girls to understand. And a lot of times, I've heard it as we've been talking up here, boys will say and do things differently if there's a girl in the room. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, that's natural. That's who God created us to be, you know? And sometimes boys just need to be able to burp and pass gas. And not worry about it.
Thank you.
This is not one of those times.
But seriously, though, we are given an awesome responsibility to develop men into the future leaders of our movement. And there's no better setting, in my opinion, than a group of boys coming alongside a leader and learning how to be a man of God.
Amen. Okay, you know, I've learned that tension is good. And so I want to create some tension if I can. you guys okay with that? One of the things I've noticed about Scott and Mark is that what they're saying about their belief in gender-specific ministry echoes what you've seen in David for years. They believe in gender-specific ministries. They believe in Royal Rangers. They really deeply do. And Scott started in January, and one of his first responsibilities was the conference that they do each February. And prime time, he wanted us to discuss gender-specific ministries to all of the children's directors, youth directors, and CE directors that happened to be in that particular part of the meeting. There's a real heart from these men for gender-specific ministries. But to create the tension, Scott, you and the two churches you were at didn't even have Royal Rangers. So tell us about it.
Let me back up behind David. No. Well, to correct you, they did have Rangers when I got there. And it was not an indictment on the Royal Ranger program that we stepped away from Rangers. And let me clarify.
You had girls ministries.
We had girls ministries, girls ministries. And we kept girls ministries. Wow. That's tension. That's not tension. Let me start off by giving. This is what happened. I went to my senior pastor and I said, "Listen, this is not working." And he said, "I don't care. You're going to do Royal Rangers." I said, "Yes, sir." 6 months. This is not working. I don't care. You're going to do Royal Rangers. 6 more months. This is not working. Do whatever you want then. And so we stepped away from the Royal Ranger program. And this is why we did it. Rangers was in our churches was nothing like what I'm hearing at this conference. We were not mentoring boys. We had a program for the sake of the program. And that was it. And I was bound and determined as a children's pastor that I was not going to die on the hill of a program. I was going to die on the hill of reaching kids, specifically boys and girls in gender-specific ministries on Wednesday nights. I was not married to the Ranger program to the point that I was willing to sacrifice boys and girls. Now here's the flip. I knew in my heart and in my head the unbelievable potential of Royal Rangers. I was a straight arrow, a buckaroo, and a pioneer growing up. And some of those, the stories that you've heard from Mark as he shared about the men that have impacted his life, I can name those names the same way. Because those men poured into my life. Rangers in our churches had become, in both the settings, prior to me getting there, had become a 10-minute devotional and let's go outside and play kickball. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think that's what Rangers is all about. And so what I did in my heart and in my mind was I said, you know what? We need to get away from the current perspective of what Royal Rangers is. And the only way that I knew to do that was to stop it completely. And the church that I was at in South Carolina, I was text messaging the children's pastor now, who grew up under our ministry, and now he's the leader. Because, see, we had to get away from it so that we could begin to do it right again. And he just told me that they have 90 boys now and men who are committed to the Royal Ranger program, and they're doing it the right way. And that was the whole purpose of stepping away from Royal Rangers, because I knew that we needed to completely sever the ties to what we had been doing so that we could come back and do it the right way. And now boys are being mentored by godly men, and they're growing in their faith in so much that they're even hosting, the church is even hosting a regional training event coming up in June for Royal Rangers. And so it's just, I believe in the program. We had to step away from it so that we could make it truly work. We had to get away from it for a little while.
Was that tension or what? You held up very well under tension.
You know, Doug, if I could jump in on that. You know, I think what Scott was talking about is he saw that there was a need for a change. He knew that it needed to happen and did not know if everybody was going to be able to make that change. And what I'm hearing at this conference is some of the same feeling that we have got to change. If we're going to continue to be effective and relevant in reaching today's boy, we've got to make change. And hearing some of the things that have been talked about and dialoguing with some of the leaders, I'm hearing you saying, and I applaud you to say, thank you for doing your best to change, to learn the new systems and to learn the new words and to do the new training programs. It's not easy to do that. But I'll tell you, if we don't change, if we don't come in line with the new direction and the shifts that are happening, and as Doug is making some of the hard calls on how to change and shift this, and some of those changes aren't real popular, but they're needed. If we can't make those changes, if you and your district and your local churches can't make those changes, we risk losing everything we fought for almost the last 50 years. Because if part of you changes and part of you doesn't, we have a split. And then what do we have? We have got to all be on the same page. And so I know those of you who are going back home and you might still be wrestling with, well, how does this work and how does it look and how do I do this? And people back home aren't going to buy into it. Man, you have got to do the hard work to really read these things, to really learn them and continue taking what's been started here and even the last few years and continue it in your home, your home district, your home church, because making that change is essential. Our boys need you, and they need you together as one. And I challenge you to go forward from here with that.
Thank you, Mark.
Let me just mention this. When I first came to the national office about 11 years ago, I was the new guy in the Children's Ministries Agency. And so I was getting the calls from senior pastors who were wanting to cancel Rangers. They would call and say, I'm new at my church, we've got Rangers, and I want to know what to have instead of Rangers. And of course, I would be drilling down there because I was a big Rangers supporter. But how many times the senior pastor would say, well, when I was a youth pastor, this happened and this happened and this happened. So I said, when I became a senior pastor, I wasn't going to have Rangers in my church. And so about 10 years ago, you started hearing the national leadership staff of Rangers saying, build bridges with Ranger with youth pastors. Don't burn bridges with youth pastors. But you know, Scott, when you said your senior pastor said, we're going to have Rangers, it echoes what I'm hearing today. I'm not hearing the same thing anymore. I'm hearing pastors who are open to Rangers. And even more than that, enough time has gone by that many of our younger senior pastors were in Rangers, just like Scott was. Okay, he could be a senior pastor today. 8-10 years out of Bible college, solid ministry, could be a senior pastor, and he would be pro-Rangers because he grew up in it. I'm teaching a class at Southwestern, and almost every boy, every young man, boy, in college that's in my class grew up in Rangers. And they're in our Bible colleges. So a good day is coming when the pastors are going to be more open to Rangers than ever before because it impacted their lives. And when they were young pastors, they found some bridges instead of some battles.
Amen. So thank you, Scott, for letting me create that tension. But I want to salute you, and I will confess something to add to some tension. I've had some conversations with some churches, and my advice to them has been, go ahead and cut Rangers for the next few years. And that's not what they want to hear from the national director, certainly not what I like to say, but sometimes that's the best way to handle it, is that we're just going to cut it. And guys, I don't like saying that at all, but that's where these church leaders are at. They want to mentor boys. They absolutely do. They absolutely want to mentor future men. So let's provide them the kind of ministry, mentoring ministry, not a camping or a scouting ministry. They're not out for that, but they are up for a mentoring ministry. So thank you, Scott, for your commitment to gender-specific ministry, and Mark and David as well. We're going to finish with one email that came through just to illustrate the fact we're trying to tear down barriers between ministries. We're not competing with one another. We're collaborators in the cause of reaching future men. So Mark received this email.
Yeah, Scott and I had the chance to go to Minnesota a couple weeks ago, and we were able to connect with some local children's pastors who were in for a lunch. And after we got back, one of the gentlemen, the children's pastor, sent me this message. And I share it because I see a new day coming in ministering to children, that we're not all running in different directions, trying to pull the kids in different directions, but we're going to be razor-focused with it. So here's what he says. Hey, Scott and Mark, it was a treat to have you guys stop by our Minnesota District Kids Pastor Luncheon. By the way, I'm the short, stocky Asian guy from the luncheon that served at Kids Council in Orlando. Scott, it was refreshing to hear your short personal story about missing the bullseye by not connecting with the youth ministry and even other departments. That is a task and a challenge I am personally facing at my church. It's very exciting, but also challenging, since everyone is not buying into the concept, nor has caught the vision. If you have any advice on what to do from your personal experience, it would be beneficial. Mark, it's exciting to know we have a former youth minister serving in your capacity. thus understanding the importance of bridging the different departments and ministries of the church. Since hearing from you, it sparked my ministry team to make sure our Rangers, Impact, JBQ, and missions coordinators connect more on a regular basis. A children's pastor, and I see this happening over and over and over, as we start talking about connecting all these ministries across the nation, people are standing up and saying, yes, thank you. This is what we need. We need to be on the same team. So when you go back home, I just challenge you to build those relationships. And maybe the best way is just to say, hey, let's go have a cup of coffee. Let's sit down and have a donut before service or after service, and let's start dreaming about how to better reach the kid. Keep the child the main focus of what you do, and everybody will win.
Amen. Would you give it up for this team? Thank you, guys. One other thing I just throw in there before we move to our final segment is this. One of the best ways you can begin to connect with children's and youth pastors is get on Twitter. Boys and young men are not really into Twitter, but your children's pastors, your youth pastors, excellent way to connect with them. So I would encourage you to do that. One last thing we're going to cover before we break for lunch. The foundation for this entire relational community that we're trying to build nationally and at the district level, of connecting with God, connecting with boys, connecting with church leaders, connecting with ministries, the foundation of it is the culture that we're trying to norm Rangers up to. Every ministry has to have a culture. And when it goes undefined, everybody comes up with their own definition of who we are and why it matters. And so we have decided we're going to define the kind of people we want to be, the kind of Christians we want to be, the kind of men we want to be, the kind of organization we want to be, and the kind of ministry we want to be. And so to cover that, as we conclude, Jim Barger, our newly elected president, is coming to join us.
Just a couple of real quick housekeeping items before I talk about our culture. Several years ago, this body commissioned me to go to Tibet to conduct spiritual warfare, and a book about that adventure is available for $10. They're back on the camera platform. If you'd like one, pick it up. Also, a book about some adventures in the Promised Land. Dwight commented to me this morning. He said, I saw you shaking your head up there whenever they were running the election. What's up? Well, let me just tell you, if you want to know if God's got a sense of humor, let him know what your plans are. I was arguing a little bit, and that's okay. How many know you can argue with God? So what is culture? Help me out. It's getting close to lunch. What's culture? That's what we value, what we believe, and how we talk, what we do, how we think. It says who we are. It's our identity. What is our identity? Help me out. Huh? What are we? Who are we? Are we Royal Rangers? Well, that's the name of our tool. Who are we? We are mentoring. We are mentors of boys and young men, mentoring them into becoming lifelong servant leaders and Christ followers. That's our identity. Royal Rangers is the tool we use. I think it was Scott said it so well. You know, one of the gentlemen, we're not interested really in trying to save Royal Rangers. We're interested in mentoring boys. Royal Rangers is what we use to do that. That's our culture. That's who we are. If we have small personal egos and we're willing to do whatever it takes to get that done, it's going to get done. We're going to mentor boys successfully and completely. So what are leaders? Leaders are Christ followers. Building a strong relationship on a daily basis, ever stronger, every day. My wife asked me, how much do you love me? I say, a little bit. A little, but wait a minute. A little bit more than I did yesterday. How did Adam and Eve know when God was walking in the garden and they had to go and cover themselves? How did they know that? They heard his footsteps. Do you hear God's footsteps when you're walking in the garden? You need to walk close enough with God that you feel his breath on your neck as he talks to you in the garden. I'll confess, three times in my 40-year walk with the Lord, I've heard his audible voice, but there's been other times when he could be walking through my life with combat boots that had jingle bells on and I wouldn't have heard him. We need to be developing daily that close relationship with the Lord. Arden already so well talked about National Ranger Ministry Camp. And I won't belabor that point except, you know what? A lot of our boys are not being taught how to be men. A lot of our men don't have a clue how to be a man. They're taught by female school teachers, female Sunday school teachers. They don't know anything about being a man. What their advice to a boy is to sit down and shut up. You know, God didn't create us to sit down and shut up. Good example of that is young friend Elias. He's 10 now, but when he was 5 years old, he was standing in church on an Easter Sunday with a black tie, a red necktie, and a black suit. He looked beautiful. And I said, Elias, man, you look sharp. His grandpa standing beside him said, you know, I was really hoping he was going to grow up to be a preacher, but thanks to his Uncle Matt and Aunt Cindy, his toy chest is an arsenal of weapons of mass destruction, and the kid wants to grow up to be a pirate. You see, that's how we were made. We weren't made to sit down and shut up. We're different. National Ranger Ministries Camp teaches our men how to be a godly man. And you need to be there so you can be passing that on to your boys and on down to those that you are mentoring up through your organizational leader position. Get there. We're servant leaders. We're team players. My pastor just finished a cohort last year for masters, and there were 27 pastors involved in that, and they were from churches that were breaking into the next level. In this case, it's churches of around 500 ready to break up into the 1,000 and on from there. Of the 27 pastors, they were having a kind of a go-around. Tell us what's working in your church. When my pastor said Royal Rangers and girls' ministries, everybody said, you've got to be kidding. Only one other pastor had a successful Royal Ranger ministry. My pastor said, well, what are you guys doing to mentor boys? Or how are you building relationships? Or who's teaching your boys how to be men? Most of them weren't. Men, we've got tremendous opportunity in front of us. Well, we're a culture of personal excellence. When Ken Hunt was our national commander, I was asked to be a resource for the Pastoral Study Commission. Committee, because we realized that Royal Rangers was headed for a train wreck. And one of the points that came out in that committee as I listened to those pastors was, oh man, they're not even talking about Royal Rangers. All of their bad experiences that I was hearing them say out of their mouths about Royal Rangers really didn't have anything to do with Royal Rangers. It had to do with men that didn't know how to do Royal Rangers, or men that were out of step with what Royal Rangers was trying to do, or were out of step with the pastor, but we were not in harmony. We are a culture of personal excellence. We're also a culture of leadership excellence. If that's what we are, we've got to think and act that way. We can't say one thing and do another. Words are powerful. Turn to page 53 in your book. You don't need to do it right now, but there is an excellent paragraph on that. I used to illustrate it this way to my boys. Still do. Give them, when they come to the meeting, a brand new tube of toothpaste and an aluminum pie plate. Say, boys, and then I would lay a $100 bill down on the table. I say, boys, there's a prize for whoever successfully completes this exercise. I want you to squeeze every bit of toothpaste out of that tube. So, man, they work hard getting it all out. One of them will say, I won. I say, wait a minute. When they've all done their best to get it all out, that's not what the exercise is. The exercise is to get it all back in. And, boy, is that fun. Watching a whole bunch of boys trying to squeeze a big glob of toothpaste You talk about messy. Oh, yeah. Well, I've not given away any $100 bills, incidentally. But the point is words have residue. You can say something and you can apologize for it 1,000 times over, but the memory of that word is always there. And what comes out of your mouth is what's in your heart. If you speak in condemnation, that's what's in your heart. We cannot do that, men, if we're espousing a culture that's good. We are a missional organization. We have a mission, clearly defined. It's been said 1,000 times. And if you leave here with nothing else in your mind, we are a mentoring organization. We're also a learning organization. We've got to learn. We've got to stay up with the times. How many learned something when we had the technology presentation? I did. I like to think I'm pretty up on technology. I'm not that up, but pretty up. But I learned a lot. You know what? If we don't learn it, we're going to become irrelevant. Irrelevancy is a four-letter word that just happens to have 11 letters. If you are irrelevant, nobody cares about you. They ignore you. And we'll have more and more pastors saying, let's get rid of this thing called Royal Rangers and find something that works. We've got to always be undergoing training and getting relevant to what our boys are doing. You've got to know things like Who Lady Gaga and all of those other things. You got to know what they're talking about. You've got to be relevant to them. We've got to be relational. We've got to be able to relate to them. Then we are also a culture of excellence. How many like to be organized or belong to things that are unorganized, sloppy, disconnected? Nobody does. No, we like to belong to things that are successful and look good, and so do your boys. And so we've got to have excellence. Look at what we compete with. The very best that Satan can throw at them. We've got Hollywood, we've got the other media, we've got the internet, we've got even our schools. Satan has managed to forge into a tool to use against the cause of Christ. We have to compete on that level, and they do things the very best they can. So Doug's advice, do fewer events, but make them better. Make them the talk of the state, your district, is what happens at Royal Ranger events. We've got to do that. It's a ministry that has purpose. Our purpose is to evangelize and disciple. We've got a message, and it's God's word. We've got power. It comes from the Holy Spirit. We've got a call. I'll tell this two-minute story in 30 seconds. A long time ago in Ohio at our very first JLTC, I was away on a Sunday or over that weekend, and I got a pager. That was back in the days of a pager. Called my pastor. I had to drive about 10 miles to a phone. It was a Saturday afternoon. I called my pastor. I thought one of my kids died or something. He said, I heard you're not going to be in church tomorrow. I said, no, I'm down here with a group of boys, and we're going through a training. He said, man, I really miss you when you're not in church. So I said, well, I'll come in Monday morning. And we'll talk about it. So we went in to his office, and he said, you know, I'm not sure about this thing about being gone on Sunday with the Royal Rangers. I'm not sure. And I said, well, when God called me into this ministry, he said, what? I said, when God called me into the Royal Ranger ministry, he said, tell me about that. So I explained it to him. He said, man, that's exactly what happened to me when God called me into the pastoral ministry. I never realized laymen were called. How many are called? Amen. Amen. I'm called. We are called. It's a ministry of discipline, and prayer is our discipline. We've got to walk close to Him as we pray to Him. We've got to conform to our church culture. When I first got in Royal Rangers, I completed my leadership training by correspondence. That's how long ago I started. And right after I completed it, we got a brand new district commander, and he decided to start putting training in every section. And so I had been to NTC, so I had the pins called a training chief. Well, we had a sectional commander who had done likewise, and so he was organizing. He'd been in Rangers for quite a while in a very successful outpost. They were outpost or Grand Powwow Award winners, and they had all the best equipment and everything that you could imagine. And so after the second week, when he was the chief instructor and I was the administrator, he got switched over to the night shift, so I ended up teaching LTC. But he got to the place where he didn't get his way with everything in his church because he was convincing his, trying to convince his pastor that Royal Rangers was the primary ministry of that church and everything should focus on supporting that ministry. Well, that didn't go over too well with his pastor. And do you know what? In about 4 or 5 months' time, that went from the most successful outpost in the district to a non-existent outpost. And it's never had one since, and that's 30-some-odd years ago. Man, we cooperate with the total church program. We're not even a subculture. We are just the component that ministers and mentors boys. That's what we are. Let me close quickly because we're coming to lunch. We're past lunch, but we are going on. Let me just give you a few leadership platitudes, as it were. Number one, the acquisition of knowledge doesn't mean you're growing. Growing happens when what you know changes how you minister. We're learning a lot. A good idea without action is nothing at all. You can sit here and hear all this stuff, go back to your districts, do nothing, and that's exactly what will happen. You've got to make it happen. What you don't start today won't be finished by tomorrow. The Jordan never parted until the priests put their feet in the water. And if you're waiting for perfect conditions, ideas, or plans to get started, forget it. It ain't going to happen. In the movie Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, when he was going over to get the cup that would save his father's life, he came to a chasm, and it was a wide chasm. And what did he do? He shut his eyes, and he stepped out in faith. Well, that's what we got to do. We got to step out in faith. And when he stepped out into that space, there was something solid there. He couldn't see it with his eyes. But we've got to move forward. We cannot afford to let Satan keep on stealing our youth away. Change is often resisted where it's needed the most. How many can say amen to that? And remember this, the extra mile is the least crowded section of the highway. That's the place you want to be. Be innovative. Ask, how can I reach more? Study the new stuff. Track club, National Ranger Ministries camp. You've heard it all pitched. Study it, learn it. Get back and sell it to in your districts, to your people. Learn what our culture is all about and embrace it. Walk with him in the garden because he wants you to succeed. This our culture, you can look at it two ways. You can look at it as the little R with the word culture, meaning ranger culture, or you can look at it as O-U-R, our culture, because it's yours and it's mine. I've given my life to reaching boys through the Royal Ranger Ministry, and I know you have as well. And God wants us to succeed. And as we propagate that culture, our ranks will grow. I believe if there's a hope for this nation, it's through mentoring boys to become Christ-like men and lifelong servant leaders. Amen.
Thank you, Jim. We are, as organizational leaders, responsible for building a highly relational ministry. Has this been helpful? Men, I want you to know, ladies, I love you. I really do. And if we've said anything that comes off strong or hard, it was not the intent. But just know we love this ministry, and we know that it will thrive in a highly relational environment. Amen? So let's build that. Let's be intentional about it. Amen? Thank you so much, Jim, for reinforcing our culture. Would you just give it up again for Jim and welcome Jim as he comes back with those famous announcements, and then you can enjoy lunch. God bless.